My name's Ed Piskor.
I'm Jim Rugg.
Jim, we're going to be talking about Jack Kirby's singular autobiographical comic strip, Street Code. But first, what do you have for us?
I have patreon.com/Jim Rugg, where I post lots of artwork, comics, process stuff. And I'm currently in the middle of posting page-by-page comparisons of Street Angel Lost Dog, the first image comic I created, which wasn't ultimately published, and Street Angel's Dog, which is me redoing it 3 years later, that came out as the Image Free Comic Day in 2018. I just posted these pages, this spread, and, you know, talk about some of the differences. But then also I dug out my original notes and sketches, 22 pages of like printer paper with all the layouts that went into these two pages. So, you know, it was early on. I was kind of learning my way back into the Street Angel comics and what I wanted her to look at after 10 years off. So process stuff, if you're into that, you can find that and lots more at patreon.com/Jim Rugg.
Super cool, man. Red Room, issue 1 and 2 are available for pre-order at this very moment by through Fantagraphics. If you hit my link tree in the description below this video, it'll take you to the Fantagraphics website so that you could reserve your copies. Thousands of people have reserved issue 1 of Red Room. We'll see what happens as things move forward, but the stores can order this now.
And let those stores know, I mean, it's new horror comics, it's standalone horror comics. Like, these stores, it's impossible for them to keep up with everything that's coming out, so let them know a cool horror comic's coming out so they can put a couple on their shelves.
You should be able, as a retailer, man, identify the guys wearing the Rotten Cotton Leatherface shirts. You put this comic in their fucking hands. Do I have to do your jobs for you? Anyhow, Street Code, dude, 1983 story commissioned by some fella named Richard Kyle to create an explicitly autobiographical comic strip, Jack Kirby's own. He might have injected little bits here and there of himself into previous comics, but this is a Jack Kirby story about his life.
It's an amazing comic. Even the origins are pretty amazing, that this guy just commissions this comic, and we're going to go through it page by page. It's a remarkable comic. And it breaks my heart to think, like, anybody could have commissioned this. Big publishers in New York, Marvel, DC, anybody could have commissioned Jack Kirby to do these kinds of stories. I wish we had thousands of pages of this stuff. It's really cool to see it as we go through. We'll point out, you know, we hear these stories about Jack Kirby. He's famous for these stories growing up in the Lower East Side and how rough and tumble that was. It's incredible to get to actually see it in his pencils.
So we have several different versions of Street Code. It's appeared in a bunch of different places. The Kirby Museum was passing these out at one point before the cameras went on. We were trying to figure out, like, where the heck did we get these things?
Yeah, pretty sure it was Heroes, but the interesting piece of this one is it's lettered by Kirby.
Yes.
So that's really nice to see. You know, I mean, yeah, I'd love a bigger version. I'd like an artist edition of this. But it's really cool to see his hand all over these pages. You know, like, the nice thing with the mini comic is it's just Kirby.
Right. The Kirby monograph that Abrams put out has the version that we're going to be looking at today. And that's lettered by Bill Spicer, one of those great old fandom dudes. And one of the kind of cheap places you could find the Street Code amongst a bunch of other autobio comics from people who don't typically do autobiographical comics is this Streetwise collection. And it's lettered by Ken Bresniak, but the printing is weird on it. The lettering's a little fuzzy. And, you know, this is a better title, so we're going to go with that one, man.
And the original...
A little bigger, too.
The original printing of this was in Argosy in 1990, and it was, I believe, this is the lettering that was run in that original first printing.
Makes perfect sense, man, because Argosy, that's damn near a fanzine. And Bill Spicer caught up in that world. Really weird that his shit is pixelated right here, but the lettering's all fine there. Let's jump into the story, man, and just let's talk vintage Kirby, man. It starts off, he's kind of getting ready to go out, go hang out with the fellas. And the level of detail that we see in almost every panel, certainly every big panel, is remarkable. And it makes you, like all that stuff that is kind of like lost to the ages, man. Like those like little wash, what is that thing? A little...
Doing laundry there. Doing laundry in the tub. We have the little potbelly stove in the background, and you can see a pot on top of it that is where the cooking is being done. I love this because, I mean, this has to be his the apartment he lived in, right? I mean,
totally.
Has to be him just remembering these details and putting them in there.
Yeah, yeah. The little doily that like mom is sitting all of her stuff on.
Yeah, I love it. Talks about mothers, you know, like he's grabbing a roll on the way out, and you can see the mom taking some pride in her little boy there.
Yeah, yeah, it reminded me, like in The Wire, whenever they're trying to put a hit out on Omar, and they try to catch him at church with his grandma. And they shoot off the old lady's hat. And even the toughest gangsters were like, you didn't abide by the truce, the Sunday truce. Like, we're supposed to be able to go to church. Like, that's what this is. The street code is that mothers are coveted. Like, we could kick each other's asses. You and I could fight. But we never say anything about each other's mothers. And in fact, if I see your mom, I'm going to help her bring her groceries in.
Yeah. I more of the detail stuff is like seeing him now out in the hallway of the tenement building. Awesome.
Where the shitter's out in the hallway and there's like random other dudes using it.
Yeah, it's you know, the people that live there, they share that, the bathroom facilities. Man, I love all these details. And there's one of your moms coming up the stairs with her bag of groceries that before little Jack can go out on the streets. Give her a hand with those groceries.
Yeah. Look at those hands, by the way, of hers, yeah. Man. It's like demon.
Yeah. That Eastern European immigrants, first generation immigrant. Notice the tenement is in this terrible state of decay.
Yeah.
That's commented on in the story. You know, they kind of take care of each other because they are living in this, I think it's referred to as slums, but, you know, it's up to you that live there to take care of each other because, like, the landlord sure isn't.
Jimmy, very rare is it that a comic book actually makes me laugh out loud. Jack Kirby made me fucking guffaw probably 3 times while I was reading this thing. And we're going to get to those sequences right here, man, because he captures spot on the kind of ethnic dialect of his neighborhood. And knowing Jack Kirby, that sweet little old man that you see in all the photos and stuff, and then like just reading him go blue...
it's
so adorable, man. So you know, some boys, like, you know, one of them with that Jughead hat, by the way,
yes,
is like, ah, here comes a cockroach, and should we step on him? And then little Jack Kirby says, come on, pee in your pants. And then they're like, you know, Jughead is like, we're gonna go fill up some goyles. Want to go with us? And he goes, go fill your ass. You know, establishing that young little Jack Kirby had to be a tough guy around these bullies.
Yeah, and right into it, man. That's all it takes to start the fight. This is incredible. It's so much fun seeing these characters.
I love it.
It feels like his comics, and then the idea that it's him in the middle of it.
And here's the iconic shot. Yes. I mean, you flip to this, and you have chills, man.
Yeah, and this is known that Roz Kirby framed and put this on the wall in their home. Like, that speaks volumes.
This is also one of those crazy images where you could tell it's like he's not ruling down and figuring out, like, exact proper perspective. There are many different planes here, but somehow it all works.
This is one of those early examples of not adhering to that gridded out perspective.
Right.
That just felt like life to me.
Yeah.
You know, like, I saw this image. I don't know where I would have first seen this image, but I would just stare at it and marvel and try to figure out, like, everything I knew about drawing and how on earth do you do this? Because this defies everything. You know, the answer to drawing this is 40 years of drawing, you know, 5 pages a day at your table. I think the non-grid layout is why it feels so alive.
Right.
Because you've got stuff going on in every direction, man. Buildings are just not quite lining up. Kids are everywhere. You know, when you rule out that grid, you end up putting everything, okay, this is the ground plane, but yeah. All the cars line up and the horse and buggy and everything lines up. This way, it's much more of this uneven world of, like, that horse is moving off to the side, the car is turning down this way. It just has so much energy. It's beautiful, and I love seeing it that big size. You know, as great as it is, this small piece is for different reasons, the bigger you can see this image, the better off.
Absolutely, man. And, like, let's look at it just from pure storytelling point of view. Like, Jack Kirby is telling us that he comes from an era where there were still dudes on friggin' horse and buggy going. Like, this isn't some couple going through the Central Park on some, like, romantic thing. Like, this guy's getting around. He's an Iceman.
Bringing ice to the ice boxes that people are trying to preserve their food for a little bit. We have kids playing stickball in the streets. It's amazing. Markets going on. There's garbage being thrown out from, like, an upstairs apartment being thrown down onto the street. And you see the cop shaking his nightclub up at him, like, you know, not to do that. But it's happening.
All these fashions, you know, like these interesting women's fashions. This multiple ethnicities going on here.
And the little kids are there. I assume that's Kirby and company fighting out of the door, out onto the spilling out onto the sidewalk.
Beautiful buildings. It's Kirby being restrained in his architecture, because you know that's not the buildings that you see in Fantastic Four comics.
Man, so you mentioned the horse and cart, the car, a streetcar in the background going. It's incredible, man. Look at the amount of energy and life on there. If this is really like what he remembers his childhood like, it explains a lot of, I think, the comics he was doing, like say in the 70s when he's really, you know, doing his own comics, and they're full of this kind of chaotic energy. Yeah, that's an incredible, it's one of the most iconic splash pages in comics history.
Yeah. Well said, man. The fight continues, right? But only until, you know, some other kid comes around and is like, we have a block fight. So how does that statement go? The enemy of my enemy is my friend, or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, yeah.
So all fighting within the tenement is put to the side because they have bigger fish to fry, man. There's some kids from some other country living on some other block, and they just called my mom a punk or something like that, man. So they all got to rally together, go choose your weapons. At first, I thought Jack's weapon, because it talks about I picked my weapon in 2 seconds, and I thought it was going to be that 15-cent sign. But no, it's a bunch of corn cobs, man. Because you throw a corn cob bowl well enough, it has the same effect as a brick.
Yeah, these are ugly fights. People could be really getting hurt in this. And, you know, again, like, you read the interviews of Kirby and his upbringing, and he talks about this kind of, like, violence that was around and how you had to defend yourself. Good stories like whenever he's selling newspapers on the corner and you got to fight people off that'll come and take the papers and your income. You see it here. It's like you don't even leave your building before you start fighting. And then you get out on the streets and those guys you're fighting from your building join up, man. We got a bigger fight around the corner.
Yeah. And the sort of shortcut to get to that other block, you have to go through the guy's workshop, who's the dude in charge of like building the tombstones for everybody. Like, who even knew that was like a thing?
Carver.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of those in modern New York City. At least not out in the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, really bizarre. And pretty dramatic visual to have like kids running through these tombstones.
It's a Kirby kid gang. You know, the dingbats of Kirby's childhood street.
Yeah, man. Another one of those great panels that depict some of the architecture and the chaos of like people fighting from the roofs, up and down fire escapes, all the way down to street level.
Some West Side Story type shit, man. But before our guys go into battle, we're going to spend some energy on this right here, man. The story's called Street Code, and there are certain rules to live by once you leave the premises. And once your street is involved in a fight with some other kids, man, it's customary, it's street code, that you gotta rub the local hunchback's back to get a little good luck. And all the boys are standing in line. So the rest of the story, it kind of slows pace a whole lot.
It's a great description he gives, too. A once cruel whim had achieved battle status. You know, the need to rub this good luck symbol, George's hump. It's cool to see like the adult Kirby reflecting and recognizing this was this cruelty to this kid, because you know what, man, when the block fights weren't going on, I bet you George took a lot of shit from everybody locally.
Right. And look at it. Go ahead, Joik. You're holding up the line.
This is like football teams would, you know, you slap the banner as you're leaving the locker room or whatever.
Gotta rub the hunchback's hunch. And Kirby's in line and he's having an existential crisis as he's like moving up the line, because you get the sense that it's like he's grossed out, I feel like, man, because he's given the knucks. You know, he's not shaking hands with it. He's given the knuckles.
I think some of it is that cruelty, too. You know, like, he's often known as fighting bullies, and I'm sure that George dude is bullied, you know, in right. his memory. But hey, street code. You want to win this fight, so.
Yeah. He just gives a little rap with the knuckles, man. And then the hunchback says, what are you doing, digging for oil? And it's time to fight. You know, Kirby goes off to fight, and that ends the story. That the, you know, 5-10 pages of Kirby autobiographical comics that are freaking stellar.
Yeah, it's, I finished this, Ed. This was such a fun thing to read this week.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I looked at this story, and going back through it, it's incredible, and all I want is hundreds of more pages of this, and it kills me to think some fan commissioned this right. from Kirby. One more example of comics history and how we fail the great creators in comics history, that long legacy. We also fail us, the fans, the readers, the lovers of comics, by not taking advantage of this kind of thing. It's a shame. Like, as soon as this came in, man, I wish, you know, it should have been enough to see this story and right. then hire Kirby to do this the rest of his life.
I know, man. Like, this is an easy pitch. And once again, you know, this is the Abrams monograph, man. They've been around a long freaking time. But now that, you know, comics have a certain level of gravitas or something, now they can deign to, you know, publish it within their big works, man. But it would be amazing to have, you know, 500 pages of Kirby Auto.
You know what, man? Here's my call out to lots of cartoonists and pros. Watch this. If you're a job guy, if you're a Marvel guy, if you're a genre guy, do an autobio comic. Even if it's an 8-page little piece of your childhood, like, do it. You know, yeah. Frank Quitely, do an autobio comic, man. Do a little short autobio comic. What it's like growing up. What it was like when you were 8 or 10 years old. Everybody do one of these things because it's magic. This is an incredible story.
Great document. So thrilled that this exists. It does leave you wanting more. It does feel like a great tragedy in the history of comics that there isn't more of it. But the charm levels of this story, off the freaking charts, man. Yeah.
And it's awesome that it's his pencils. You know, we've seen lots of his pencil reproductions, especially from the 70s, and we know they're tight and awesome. But man, this story is perfect in pencil form.
Yeah, it's great, man. Anyhow, had to put that under the microscope. The great Jack Kirby autobiographical strip, 10 pages of amazing comics. We could leave it at that. You good? Kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when new vids are available. What do you got in the wild, Jimmy?
Join me on patreon.com/JimRug, where I post lots of artwork, comics, behind-the-scenes process stuff, and currently comparing and contrasting page by page two of the same story but different comics that I drew about 3 years apart. You can find that at patreon.com/JimRug.
Red Room issue 1 and 2, available for pre-order at this very moment through the Fantagraphics website. You could get there from my link tree in the description below this video, and I also have my Patreon in that link tree as well, where you can read these strips ahead of time. 3 books get you the archive. There are 2 issues up there as we speak, and every Tuesday, new strips go live.
Subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video to keep up with everything we have going on. You can also find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
Jimmy, give him one more set of marching orders. We're going to be on our way.
Read more comics.